Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big MX Radio. Thank you guys so much for taking time to listen to this episode. We're going to get a proper intro going in the next week or so, but let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's get to some podcast right now. Me and Zach Herron, let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Big MX Radio. Brought to you by many of our sponsors. The list is probably somewhere around here, but I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, the big boss with the hot sauce over at GNCC. He is the golden voice that tells us all about things that are going on in the trees, in the mud, and the slickness of Ohio. Zach Herron, how's it going?
It's good. I'm finally showered off. I'm clean from yet another muddy GNCC. We were talking about it off camera. Rita Coombs, Mother Nature, they go way back. They have a meeting every December. They line everything up so no matter what state we're in, it will rain. Good times out at Powerline Park. That was the first time the GNCC circuit had made its way back there since, I believe, 2018. And it was actually a very unique racetrack. Even the people that lived right there locally in Ohio said they'd never seen the course break down like that. We had some big shakeups in the points, had some first-time winners, and even got a little physical after the end of the race. So, yeah, there was a little bit of drama to go around as well, but another great weekend of GNCC racing.
I like it. Yeah, the only person who can really roll out of there saying they didn't have a great weekend would be Stuart Baylor. 10th place finish, falling a little bit behind in the points. Still second, mind you, because a couple of his other title combatants didn't have great races in their own right. But yeah, it was quite the eventful weekend. Are you worried at all that the rain is actually your fault and that you're going to bring it to the bagger series that you're announcing this weekend?
Well, so no, first of all, just because we didn't have this problem last year, we did have a couple of dust races. And believe it or not, I say it all the time, there was dust flying by the end of the day on Sunday. If you could see the downpour that we got hit with on Saturday, I think anybody would be like, yeah, there's no way. There is no chance things dry up before the end of the weekend. But when you've got hundreds, sometimes thousands of motorcycles, obviously quads on Saturdays as well, making their way around relatively small portions of track.
Does one quad count as two motorcycles?
That's a good question. That's an Instagram poll if I've ever heard one. I would say so roughly. But the Ohio sun did come out on Sunday. Sunday was actually beautiful. Perfect weather, but the damage had been done walking around. I've got trench foot because my feet were wet the entire time, and my poor two-wheel drive truck was absolutely covered in mud because it had to be pulled out every single day. So nonetheless, yeah, not my fault. But you know what I am excited about? Whether it rains at Bagger Racing League in 2 weeks or not, I'm not going to get muddy. So it doesn't matter.
You're going to be in a nice press box that's most likely air-conditioned.
Walk through a parking lot. And it's a parking lot, whether it's wet or not. I'm so excited for it. I actually got some new Alpine Star shoes. That's how confident I am about it. I was like, I can break out some freshies here because only thing I'd be breaking out fresh at a GNCC is fresh set of mud boots. So, yeah, it's going to be one of those deals. I've already looked forward to the next round, which is Mason Dixon up in Pennsylvania. Guess what, folks? It's looking wet.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, yeah. Well, and maybe there's going to be some rain up in New Berlin, New York this weekend for the the round of the J-Day Off-Road Series. You're going to be there. That sounds like a lot of fun. But let's get straight into some quick banter brought to you by Moto Coatings Company. I know you have your beautiful 2023 Kawasaki 450.
Come on now.
Yeah, come on now. You could probably rock a 350. 250F would be struggling a little bit.
A little big on that one, yeah.
But I think you just need to, you don't ride enough as it is. Break the thing down. Send some of the parts over to Moto Coatings Company to get coated with the creosote coatings and stuff like that. They'll vapor blast it, make sure that they maybe shave off some weight for you, because it's like you need all the help that you can get. So Moto Coatings Company, check those guys out. Let's talk about the champions. We're going to talk about, because we're not going to talk about them in the results of the race because None of them won, oddly enough. But either way, Tom Vial from France, he is Marvin Musquin Jr. He gets himself an East Coast championship. And it's just so fitting that the Europeans come over and win the East Coast championship. For whatever reason, it's just like penciled in every couple of years, put a Euro in there. It's Roncada. That's, Fonseca. Bunch of guys have like tons of Europeans have come over and won that East Coast title. Marvin Musquin being one of them, way back. I believe that was 16, but, yeah. What were your thoughts on Tom's ride?
Well, I mean, Tom did exactly what he needed to do, coming into the weekend. I think it was no secret that he was in a good spot. I think I was honestly a lot more focused on the games that Deegan might be playing, and he did. And I said this to you a little bit earlier as well. The more I hear from Tom, as far as, you know, off the helmet, obviously I love the guy's style. I love his number. I'm upset that I'm not going to see it next year. But
right.
It's
well, you'll see it afterwards, probably.
That's true. That's true. For, I don't know, man. He's pretty damn quick outdoors too. So yeah, I'll be on the lookout for that.
Double up on those championships.
Yeah, that would not be a bad deal whatsoever. But the guy's a class act. You know, I mean, he's a world champ. And I think people oftentimes, even though Marv was as well, I think people overlook the championship maturity. And I believe it was the press conference they asked about, oh, Deegan was doing this and he was messing with you. And he had every right and opportunity to be like, yeah, you know, kids being a punk, this, that, and the other thing. And he wasn't. He was like, hey, you know, he's working hard just like I am. We're putting in time. We've dreamt of this our entire life. And he was going for it. He was trying to knock me off my game. That's part of it. And so I don't know. That to me was one of the big things where I was like, man, I really like that. Like he had every opportunity to kind of throw a little bit of shade. I didn't expect him to really start smack talking, but yeah, I like what I'm seeing out of Tom. It seems like he's got a great thing going in his corner, obviously working very closely with Marvin Musquin, who in his own right is very skilled and very mature as far as the rider mentality goes as well.
Agree.
But yeah, I think this is the start of a long, successful American career for Tom Vial. And the question is he going to be able to surpass Marv? Obviously, we've been joking back and forth, little Marv. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, it's not going to be impossible for him to get wins. I think he is going to be a competitor for not only wins but titles as well, not only in the 250 class but in the 450 class as well. He's got that very smooth, methodical style that is just, it's so fun to watch, man. I mean, yep. Talk about somebody where you could put the whole race in slow-mo, leave the camera on him, and it's poetry in motion. So yeah, I'm honestly very happy for him. I'm excited for that whole team, and yeah, I honestly very excited to see what he's able to do outside, and then could be a threat, honestly, in the SMX style too. He was very good at kind of crossing over those two styles. And so yeah, those are obviously a little more unique track layouts in those final three rounds. So yeah, I think this is the start of a long and successful career for Tom Vial here in the States.
Certainly. No, like obviously he's a bit of an outdoor specialist being is he one or two time world champion, I think, at least
believe
one, if not
times.
Two. I think two-time yeah, I champion, two. Which very much similar to Tyler Rattray came over, a couple of championships. Same thing with Roczen. I believe he had won before coming over. Lots of those, like, it seems like these KTM imports, they get their couple of championships over there, and then they come on over and wreak havoc on the American series, but good on him. I think that he's definitely got some skills outdoors. He's proven that over in Europe. I think he's going to be only just that much better this year, having already raced a lot of the tracks before. He's prepared for them. They're going to have more data. And honestly, like, even we're going to talk about RJ Hampshire next. Good on the KTM group, because that team hasn't had a lot of success in recent history. Obviously, like having Maximus Volin for the last 3 years with that team. Not to say it was Maximus's fault, but he's just been hurt. So you can't win championships when you're on the ground or you're on the mend. So that's been, it's kind of been the tail of the tape for KTM. They go back on top of the box, and then the white KTM ends up, winning the championship as well. And it's a bit of a feel good story, because for how many, like RJ Hampshire has been the coyote, the championships roadrunner. It has always been like the anvil always falls on him, whether it's self-inflicted or not. He's gone down. He's been hurt. He's gone down at the worst possible times, and it's cost him championships. Now he is a champion. He has his family on hand to celebrate it with him. He looked genuinely like he's very emotional about it.
Yeah,
reminiscent of Zach Osborne. Maybe not as convoluted of a path as that as Zach Osborne had, but still, I was impressed. What were your thoughts on RJ?
Man, it's been a long time coming, and I think it's got to be tough. Like we've talked a lot about the Chase Sexton tuck in the front end, and that's kind of been the thing that's chased him these last couple of years. And I've said for the rest of his career, when Chase Sexton tucks the front end, he's going to catch more flack than most of the rest of the field, because that's been synonymous as a mistake that he makes. With RJ Hampshire, it's the big crashes. It's the crashes when no one's around. It's the self-inflicted wounds that have kind of haunted him for years in the past. And it's the thing about it is people look at it and they kind of, they put a negative spin on it. But to me, it's all heart. Like it comes down from nobody has ever said that RJ is not giving everything that he's got to try to make this happen. And unfortunately, sometimes these guys push the limits. Sometimes these guys pass the limits. And for me, I'll be the first to admit, you know, we could probably go back in some of our earlier episodes and look, and I guarantee you early in the season, I was going, well, you know, yeah, RJ looks good right now, but how long until RJ's, you
right.
know, I mean, and that's, I don't think that's anybody's fault. Like you have to look at the trends. You have to look at the way things have happened in the past to really see what you think's going to happen coming up. But to me, it's like, man, how good does that have to feel? Like, not only did he win the championship, not only did he check this humongous goal off of his list, but you got to think there's a little bit of a monkey off the back for like, hey, not only did I make it through a season healthy, but I was at the top level of my game the entire season. I was able to put in the fight, put in the results, stay off the ground, and get the job done. So I'm over the moon for him. One of my good buddies, Trey Enderley, I think is actually decent friends with RJ, known him down in Florida. And I mean, everything from, you know, you heard on the podium, he shouted out the Grondles, like, man, back in the Geico days, like, this kid was a baseball player, man. I remember correctly, I think he was in college. Like, he has such a unique path as far as the way he got into this sport. He's got obviously a lot of success with the family in this sport as well. But certainly, for him to finally put everything together and to get a number one plate, man, I couldn't be more happy for him. I just before we got started, I saw the picture of him and his wife and his daughter on the podium. And it's like, man, it's crazy. Like, he's older, you know, as far as the group goes. Like, yeah, I think it's he's one of those guys where he still looks relatively young as far as, you know, the way he looks. Some guys, they just look a little bit older. And it's like, man, it's crazy to think how long he's been chasing this dream. You know what I mean? Like, he's been going after it. And anybody that's giving him smack or talking crap about how long he's been, man, I don't have any time for it, man. The guy's been nothing but a class act. I've never heard him talking down on other riders. I've never heard him making excuses or blaming other people when he makes mistakes. And that's another big thing for me, is it's like, I'm all about celebrating the highs if you handle your lows with class, you know? And I think that is something, you know, across the entire world, that modern generations were a little more likely to start pointing fingers when things start going wrong. And for RJ, he's the first guy to point it back at himself and say, this one's on me. You know, I mean, how many interviews have we heard? I was in the position to win and I threw it away. And it's like, that's got to weigh on you. But at the same time, when you put it all on yourself and you put it all on your back and you get it done, the overwhelming sense of accomplishment and pride that he's got to be feeling right now. I mean, yeah, my hat's off to him, and a huge congrats to not only him, but the entire Rockstar Husky team as well. They've been working hard. It takes a lot of faith, man. It takes a lot of belief to continue to back a kid up like that. It's like,
and they've struggled too recently.
Exactly. Like, exactly. And I mean, you know, you've got all these young guns coming up. You've got all these, oh, this is the next guy. And then you've got RJ where it's like, hey, just believe in me. Like, it's clear he's got the speed. It's clear he's got what it takes. It's just putting the pieces together. So for it all to come together, man, yeah, my hat's off to him, and a huge congrats to RJ and the whole team.
Certainly. No, it's a feel-good story. As much as, like, I don't really root for anybody, but I love good stories in the industry, and he is certainly one of them. Another great story within the industry or within the sport, Jet Lawrence. Like,
wow.
What hasn't been said about this kid and his ability to overcome and elevate himself Eight wins on the year is what he'll finish with. He only needs to do that 10 seasons in a row to get to the 80 wins that he'd need to have to surpass Jeremy McGrath for at 72 wins. Maybe we're still a little bit ahead of ourselves there, but he's a 450 outdoor champ. He is a 450 supercross champ. He's a multiple time 250 outdoor champ. And, I think he's got a, he's got one or two, one supercross championship, one. Yeah, he, I think he's tied with Carmichael because,
he won, I believe. Yeah.
I think he only has the one because he lost, obviously, his first year in 2020, broke his collarbone. 2021, he, or did he win championship?
I was about to say, because I feel like they said something on the broadcast about
he must
him
have
winning
two.
Both coasts. I think
he has one on both, I think, is what it is. Yes.
And I think Stewart's the only other one to ever do that. I have championships on both coasts out of the 250s, I think.
Your book,
encyclopedia of all things.
I want to say that Langston's done it. I know for a fact that.
Well, let me correct myself. I don't just mean win both coasts on 250, but then to go on and do it in the 450s as well.
I think
Stewart was the only other one to do it. But
yes,
yeah, and I mean, just like I was saying about RJ, man, it's such a cool story because. You know, I'm good friends with some people in the Lawrence's inner circle, and it's like name drop it. It's Jacob Hayes. I'll say it.
No, right? I was saying name dropper.
Oh no! Not like it's got anything to do with me. But at the same time, I feel like I'm close enough to where it was like, you know, at his wedding, like he's got a couple drinks of him, and I'm like, hey man, are the Lawrence's as cool as they seem? And it's like, dude, the guy went out of his way to be like,
cooler.
Man, yeah, these guys are. It's everything that you think they are. You know, I mean, if you go back, Darren Lawrence was on Pulp, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and I listened to his interview, and it's like, even listening to the fundamentals and the kind of men that he wants to turn his sons into, and the way he's handling multimillionaire children now. I mean, yeah, you got to think about how complicated it is. It sounds like he comes from a very humble farming background in Australia. It's like, to go and fundamentally chase this dream, and it's like what he was saying. He was like, you know, we use sport to teach our kids lessons about life. And, you know, for 90% of us, that's all it is sport is a fun pastime that teaches us lessons about life, how to handle challenges, how to take wins and losses and work for something and persevere. And then all of a sudden, you know, flashback. I know I was sick last week, so we didn't get to talk about this. But, you know, the 1-2 for Hunter and Jet. And then, you know, now Jet is the guy. Jet is the face of dirt bike racing right now. And anybody that says otherwise is crazy. Everybody in Europe is talking about him. Everybody in the States is talking about him. And it's like the guy's got every right to just slap his dick on the table and be like, everybody is nothing to me, man. I am the guy. And he's not. He's a humble kid. You know, he celebrates hard. And you know what? You know what I really liked? I liked the little bit of cockiness, you know, and to all the haters, suck it. That's the podium interview of a kid that has answered everything, man.
Yeah.
Throw whatever you want at him. And I mean, he's had Tomac, he's had Sexton, he's had Webb, he's had Anderson, he's had all of these challenges, all of these different things. The weather conditions were insane at the start of this year, and the guy perseveres.
Adversity.
I mean, at this, exactly. It was obstacles versus obstacles, and he overcomes each and every one of them. Guys, 100% deserves to be on top. You know, I shot a message to Bill Savino and congratulated him because the whole Honda crew has done an amazing job as well. You know, they've clearly got such a good program going. It seems like it's a very good group all the way around. Seems
back
like
to back Supercross championships for Honda.
I mean,
haven't done that in a while.
Yes, been a minute, right? And it's like, you know, the curse all of a sudden, it ain't broken. Curse has gone from the blessing or the curse to the blessing, man. Honda's where you want to be right now. And it's like,
they're the mid-2000s Boston Red Sox right now.
Right. And it's one of those deals where that doesn't just happen overnight. And just like we talked about the adversity that RJ had to overcome, the team had to overcome as well. They had to work on that bike. They had to get things set up. You know, they had to break up with Kenny. They had, you know, even Chase leaving, I think, was kind of a statement as to, you know, hey, we're putting our eggs here in the Lawrence's. And it's like, that's a gamble. And the gamble's paid off. Obviously, Hunter didn't get the start to the season that they wanted, but I do think Hunter's getting it figured out. And I think Hunter's going to be a threat outdoors as well.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as Jet goes, man, just hats off to the guy. I'm pumped for him. Like I said, I don't know him at all, but he's just – it's cool to see a kid that successful. I mean, it's crazy to scroll through TikTok and watch him making videos with his girlfriend. I don't know if it's his girlfriend or not, but making videos on TikTok. And it's like, this is the baddest dude on two wheels right now.
Yeah.
And he's still able to have fun. He's still able to be a kid.
Not a speck of facial hair.
Exactly. And he's also extremely respectful. You know,
yeah.
He appreciates what he's got. He appreciates who helps him get there. And that's what I mean, man. I'm a fan of motorcycle racing and fan of the racers, but I am truly can support the character of these riders. You know what I mean? When you're a good person, that's what I put first above a good motorcycle rider. And so for that, you know, a huge congratulations, man. And yeah, now we'll see what he's able to do outside. Turns out he's pretty good at that too.
No kidding. And yeah, like just celebrating championships, putting in the work, absolutely crushing himself week in, week
out. I mean, he can't even drink yet, can he?
I was about to say, like, this in America, only in America, that man can't have a beer.
They probably booked a private jet flight down to Australia just so he could get hammered, man.
That is absolutely, like, if for no other reason than Jet Lawrence can't have, you guys need to change that.
Yeah.
I've never actually dug in a little amendment. Deeper into as to why it's 21 and not 18. Because up here it's 18, but whatever.
Well, and it's fluctuated before. It was 18 for a while, and then it jumped up to 21. And then there was rumors it was jumping up to 25, I had heard at some point a couple years ago.
You guys
and
shouldn't so, be allowed to drink with open carry. Period. Like, there's like, you get a state with, like, literally, it's like,
you can't
open carry.
Cannot,
you can't. You cannot. There's like, it's you, like the.
That's that. That is a law. It's open carry here in North Carolina, and you cannot have your weapon on you if you're consuming alcohol.
Interesting. I did not know that.
But I dare him to come and take it.
Okay, this is also like completely off topic. But I've heard, like, in the States, and like, I don't think they have it anywhere in Canada. But like, if there's a few different places, like the few strip clubs, where if there's booze, it's not full nude. But if there's, yeah, like there's places in like Minneapolis, like Minnesota or North Dakota, that like, if it's full nude, it's dry. If there's booze, it's only like, it's like the, like just,
I can't
titty
see
bar
that
only.
Any sense.
No, they keep the bottoms on. Which, like,
I've been to one strip club ever, and I got in and quickly tried to get out as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah, you're
I don't
scared.
Yeah, it was just a lot of plastic, and you know, I spent a lot of money on a very
maybe you went
small
to the
drink.
wrong one.
Yeah, well, again, what my choice? I got drug in there and was like, I literally walked in.
You gotta stop hanging out with Mikey Wayans.
Oh, come on now. Don't actually, Mikey was talking about the local strip club in Indiana where he's at. He says he's scared to walk in there because he doesn't want to be like, Melissa from Homeroom? What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those deals. Actually, I've got a buddy of mine that lives on the coast, and in his town, this is no bullshit either. I have seen it. You've got the elementary school. Right next door is the middle school.
Yeah.
Right next door is the high school. And right next door is the strip club. And that is the progression of the ladies in that town. I mean, I kid you not, you could throw a baseball from the high school and smack a girl on
RJ
stage.
could.
Like, definitely. Yeah, he'd knock her off the stage. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's maybe a certain states I could see that, because I know certain states have a lot tighter laws on like hard liquor. But
Yeah.
I mean, liquor, I don't even know her.
Wow. All right, it's time to go
All
to
right, back to
the
dirt bikes.
let's go to the thought line. You can send me an email, bradgebhardt88@gmail.com, or you can hit up straight on social media at Big MX Radio. Very easy to get a hold of me. And David Stevens out of Georgia. We're big in Georgia, I think. I'd imagine. They don't have a lot of cool things going on in Georgia aside from like a quarterback carousel that seems to be getting more dramatic by the day. But David says, am I the only one who loves when Jason Anderson or Justin Barcia bully someone? You know, you're not alone.
No,
I think,
no,
honestly,
you're not,
if, David. if they allowed more of these antics, they'd have to start putting Supercross in bigger stadiums, because yes, more people would want to watch it. Especially when it's done, like, I don't love the, like, after the race, like, kind of like, I honestly, I didn't hate the helmet grab. I think that was a great way of sort of putting someone in their place early in the season with obviously Jet Lawrence and Jason Anderson. But when it's like on bike combatants who just like these guys, like it's a skill to be able to go into a corner with somebody and just knock them down.
Well,
And when it, like, I don't know what your
so
thoughts.
I'm torn on this. So, where's the line between Jason Anderson and Vince Freeze? Because I'll be the first to admit, Vince Freeze pisses me off. Josh Hansen was another one that pissed me off. It was like, if you pass the guy, he's gonna saw your front wheel off. And that's kind of bullshit, if you ask me. That's not racing, because if all we were trying to do is knock each other down, then it takes away from the heart of what racing is. But I do think that there's a line in the sand where it's like, you guys mess with each other enough, a takeout is necessary. To your point, exactly. Having the skill and the ability to put somebody on the dirt without putting yourself on the dirt, because you don't talk about embarrassing. When somebody goes to take somebody out and they wind up on the ground as well, I'm like, well, now look at you. So if you're going to do it, make sure you know how to do it and do it right. I'm on the complete flip side. I love the combat afterwards. I don't think fines should be handed out. I don't think anything should really. It needs to be managed, obviously. Like, you can't have somebody beating the living hell out of somebody. But I hate to say it, most of these guys aren't brawlers like that. I really,
Yeah,
besides
we're
maybe
not
Weston
throwing
Pike,
fists at
yeah,
6D
I don't
helmets.
exactly. And so, but at the end of the day, I mean, like, I just saw footage from this past weekend's NASCAR race. How many NASCAR scuffles have you seen after a race where it's like, dude, that gets me fired up, man. It's like it's a show of passion, which I think we don't get enough of. We get a little bit too robotic as far as these athletes at times. These guys are fired up.
It's
We're
always Denny
adrenaline.
Hamlin, and he
Well,
doesn't give a fuck.
and dude, what's the matter? I beat your favorite rider.
Yeah,
And
I
then the
just beat
reporter
your
goes,
favorite racer.
who's
That's my
that?
favorite. That
All of
was
them.
so good.
It's what I mean. And it's like, I love, we'll go
Millionaires
from
too.
that
Like they're
straight to Jason
stupid.
Anderson. We'll go from Denny Hamlin to Jason Anderson. If this sport needs a villain, then fuck it. I'll play the character.
Sure.
That's a direct quote from Jason Anderson's Instagram post. And it's about time. Tyler Bowers was another one. He said it on the podium when he got together with Cooper Webb that one time. If somebody's got to be the bad guy, I play the part pretty well. And that's what you need, is somebody that just is complete degaff, not worried. He's got his fans. People that like Jason Anderson like Jason Anderson. I just listened to a podcast he did with, I think it might have been Gypsy. And even my perception of him has changed a lot, because it's like he's got this shell. He's kind of protected. But it's like, dude, the guy's actually a pretty cool, laid back dude. And he even said, man, at the end of the season, I'm going to go pop a couple bottles. I'm going to get a little fried with my buddies to celebrate a good season. I'm about that, dude. Be a professional on the track. Wear your heart on your sleeve. All right. Trying to go two for two for head grabs, which, by the way, they got just as close as Jet and Jason did, but Hunter never laid his hands on him. And you see what happened. Don't touch Jason. Jason doesn't touch you. There's a lesson from Big Bro right there. But I like this. I like the rivalry. I think the brothers versus Anderson thing is a cool little dynamic to it. But as far as post-race goes, now it's got to be justified. That's the other thing. If you're crying and screaming and trying to fight people because they passed you, they closed the line off in front of you or something like that, all right, quit being a baby. But if it's like, hey, this dude's got every right to be fired up, dude, I'm all about it. You need to have a camera on this guy. Don't interfere. You need to get right up in the grill. And it's like, I mean, yeah, man, that's action. That brings the spectators in. At the end of the day, conflict sells. And it's like, you watch the NASCAR spectatorship. They're much bigger, I would say, in the grand scheme of things than dirt bike racing. And it's like, these guys are okay with it. You see fights in football. You see fights in baseball. You see fights in hockey. Like, when's the last time you
Rivals
saw
are
somebody
fighting, baby.
complaining about the fighting in hockey, And it's like, I think there's something to be said about that. And it's like, the only time you really don't see people fighting outside of the sport is the sport of fighting, because it's, hey, we're going to do that here in a little bit. And so I think it does, it helps sell. The ability to pick a side. Are you team Lawrence? Are you team Anderson? Obviously, somebody like you and me, I'm team motocross. I like that it's got people fired up. It's got
Yeah.
people picking sides. Twitter's going crazy. And it's like that is the announcer and the showman in me likes that stuff.
For sure.
It's got to be handled a certain way. But no, man, you need the bully. Because then when somebody beats the bully, everybody celebrates it. And deep down, some people like the bully too. You know, I
Oh,
mean,
for
like
sure.
Deegan, a whole
Well,
nother example, you
and
know, it's,
we're gonna get to that
yeah,
in just a bit here. But yeah, like
absolutely.
it's there's people who love the bully on the playground that ruffles some feathers and upsets the apple cart. That's just how it is. And I think there's a lot to that. We actually have to double back. We're gonna pause the thought line to go back to this block pass segment. The Racetech Suspension and Engines Block Pass. We're block passing the thought line to go back. We're doubling back
Hook him out.
towards this block pass segment. The 450 LC, the both LCQs came down to the last corner, which they don't always do that. There's some that are epic, and then there's sometimes the LCQs is like
Man.
the 20 slowest guys of the day figuring out which one of them are going to be the tail end of the main event. As respectfully as I can say that to the guys who are in that, I couldn't even like
All
see
right,
them on a
Gypsy, let's calm
racetrack.
down.
I don't even know why I have to use that caveat because everyone knows that, but it is the internet. Either way, 450 LCQ, Tristan Lane on Mitchell Harrison. These two are battling tooth and nail. They both go down together. And like, I couldn't believe that Tristan Lane didn't get up quick enough to, because like it seemed like he would just be a pick the bike up, like start it over the finish line, you go, but here comes Kevin Morantz to make his like
He's hot
third
on the
main all
outside,
year.
wide open. Yeah, it's
Yeah.
well, and I've seen people saying they got together. If you watch, they crashed separately.
Yeah.
Like Tristan and Michael, they just crashed and it just happened to be that way.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Kevin just got a Christmas present. Like, I was talking to somebody. So if Tristan gets up and because he was going as Moran's was going and just launches his bike across the finish line, does
Yeah.
that count?
You're
Like,
talking, are we
let's,
talking ghost ride?
I'm talking like pilot is not on it. He just dumps
Yeah,
the
you
clutch
can't
to
do
get the,
that. Yeah.
yeah,
The
I didn't think so either.
transponder would trip, but technically, the ruling still goes to the finish line
So
flagger.
would
And
Jeremy Albrecht. Yeah, he would be tripping too because he
yeah,
can't do that.
exactly.
Now it was that was pretty good fireworks. I mean, I think it's anytime you have the last second, oh my God, what are they gonna do? I think it's
Yeah.
cool.
I just love that Moran's was just so stoked. Like, you know that like
Oh
he's coming
yeah.
down that last rhythm section, heading into the whoops, like, I didn't get it. A fifth, like just short. And then like
Well, it's funny because he comes across
ta-da.
mine and he's like, God, thank you, God. That's all
Yeah.
that was. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And so, hey, you got to
Yeah.
be in the right place, man. You had to
God
be in that
hates
position
Tristan
to.
Lane and Marsh and Mitchell Harrison. We found out that on Saturday.
Oof. Yeah. Now, jumping the 250 LCQ, kind of the same thing. Talk about God hating somebody. When's the last time, besides maybe Caleb Wood out of the YXC1 class in GNCC, I haven't seen somebody snap a foot peg in years.
I don't know that it snapped as much as it fell off, which is even worse. But either way, yeah, loses a foot peg. He blitzed the whoops with one foot on. Like I
Is
couldn't do it with
that
two
where
foot
it
pegs.
like where did the foot peg
There's
go at? Because
nothing
I
there.
watched the replay
It's right
and
at the
so it
mount.
was
There's
off.
nothing there.
Okay. Wow. Yeah,
Like these
that's
guys
pretty
really pinch
gnarly.
with their knees, don't they? Like that's not just like,
Yeah,
that's not like.
that's pretty damn serious. I mean, if nothing else, Ken Roczen's shock exploding ought to show you the forces that those guys are dealing
I
with
know.
going through the whoops. And so, yeah, that's pretty impressive from Marsh there to be able to hang on. But
He lit
yeah,
another Suzuki in there. It was a Suzuki party.
yep,
RM Army
RM
was
Army, yep.
strong in the LCQ, the 250s. Usually it's littered with Cowies, but no, it was nothing but the Suzuki, the RM Armies, the Kickstart My Hearts were making their way in. Was that Max Miller who got in? think?
I believe so. Yep.
Yes. That was awesome. I like to see it. All right, back to the thought line. Sven Wiel from Frankfurt, Germany. We're big in Germany.
Oh, yeah. Das ist sehr gut.
Yeah, das ist very gut, yeah.
I took two semesters of German in college. I don't know if I remember any of it other than the cuss words, but.
Perfect.
Ne Scheiße.
That's just shit. Which, yeah, like you could say, honestly, like I hate to say it, but the final round often not great.
Yeah, it's either one or two, right? It's either the absolute barn burner that, you know, is the pinnacle of the season, or it's like, yeah, they did what they needed to do.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like none of the championship winners won the race. We'll get to that a little bit when we talk about the results, but, Sven's question is, and I have an Uncle Sven, who had the most invisible season in both classes? I'll let you go first.
I think I'm gonna
Sven
say
woke
Dax
up this
Bennett.
morning and chose violence too, by the way.
Yeah, I
He's
was about
just
to say,
like,
I
who
think
sucked this year?
I'm gonna say no. I'm not saying it sucked, but I'm saying it's invisible because sometimes the back of the pack gets, you know, not praised, but they get attention too. I'm gonna say Dax Bennett. He's a Carolina boy. He's on Star. He had some flashes last year that really, I think, showed the potential for big things coming into this year. Now, I don't know what's been going on, whether he's been hurt, not feeling good on the bike, whatever. But as far as just the team goes, the people that are on it, like even Nick Romano, I think he's gotten more attention, but probably not for the reasons that he wants, right? So it's been probably wishes he was
been
a little
all
more
too aware
invisible.
That he's had a brutal season.
Right. But with Dax, he's just been somewhere in the middle where it's like he's out there, but I don't really know what he's doing. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure the guy's trying as hard as he can. But yeah, I would say for Bennett, this has not been the best season. I don't even really feel like he's had those flashes where it's like, oh, yeah, Dax is out there. Like, so
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bennett in the 250 class. 450 class is kind of tough. I don't really know because I mean, like, I feel like we've had such. I mean, like, I would honestly, I'd say Barcia in a lot of ways until this last round. Like, he really kind of popped up and got into the mix some. But yeah, I mean, I'll say Barcia. Who do you have? I mean, I'm trying to think of somebody. That's the hard part about thinking of the invisible people is you don't really think about them a lot. So I'm just trying to think of names that we know are capable of more. That haven't really been
I'll give
able
you two
to.
guys in the 450 class
Okay.
who they were just sort of mired in that sort of the back third of the top 10 getting, and then another guy got a lot of 13ths, 12ths. Malcolm Stewart raced every single main event. And he did get last in one of them. So he got 0 points in one, but still made every single main event. Malcolm Stewart, 10th overall in the points. And just like, you didn't see a lot of flashes from him. You saw more, unfortunately, you saw more highlights of her, or not highlights, but like more shots of him hitting
low
the deck.
Lights. Yeah.
Than anything else. There also wasn't a lot of heat race Mookie. Like there wasn't just like a flash of brilliance where you're like, oh, there it is. Like that's the elite, Husqvarna athlete that we know and love from his days with, when he first got like he was literally in opening ceremonies, his first ever Supercross, Anaheim 2, 2017, I want to say. And yeah, like just didn't see a lot from Malcolm. I like that his brother, took a shot at him, saying
took
that
several
he would,
at him.
Several. Yeah. I think that's just brotherly love there. And then, Shane McElrath. Like, I love Shane. Shane's a great guy.
Yeah.
But the, yeah, he made every single main event. He had a fifth in there somewhere, which was the second round in, San Francisco. But aside from that, it was a lot of 13 to 15s, a couple of worst performances there. But yeah, just, he was just mired in an area that the broadcast just does not go to. And yeah, for that reason, I would say that he had the most invisible. And then if I'm talking 250s, I'm going to go to the West. You picked somebody out of the West Coast or the East Coast. I'm going to go West Coast. And I'm going to go with Robbie Wageman because he only missed three main events, but I don't recall him on the broadcast. He ended up 14th in points. Him and Hunter Yoder probably battled tooth and nail for 12th-ish all year long. But yeah, just not a great season for him.
Yeah, it's and it's tough. Like I said, all of these guys are trying their hardest, and what's so weird is one season you can be up and people are chatting about you, and the next season it's just not happening. So yeah, we'll see whether they can turn things around outside. We got one more, Edward Evans coming out of Wisconsin. Edward Evans. So I've seen several things about this. He says, how did Bogle get a DQ, but Hunter only gets a warning and a fine? So to add a little context to this, I don't remember the exact year. I want to say it was like 18, 19, maybe. Bogle's on a Twisted T Suzuki.
Wait, 2 years
ago. Maybe. Was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was very recent.
Time flies when you're having fun, I guess. Whatever it was, Bogle was a lap down. Mm-hmm. And he takes Barsha out because Barsha had taken Bogle out earlier.
And
in
he
the
was
race.
Slick with it, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, and that's what I mean. It was textbook calculated, but Bogle gets disqualified. Pretty significant penalty. Obviously we had the drama with Jason and Hunter this last race.
Yeah.
I wasn't really a fan of it. Like, I'll be the first to admit. I mean, now granted, I think Hunter could have been more aggressive had he wanted to. But nonetheless, going back to what we said earlier, it's not a good look. It's like, I don't like messing with the racing. Screw with him after the race. Take him out after he crosses the finish line and headed back towards the pits. Like, I don't really care. But during the race, if you're a lap down, yeah, like, sorry, that doesn't fly to me. And I don't know, man. I don't even really know what to say, because to me, those instances are relatively similar. Now, I don't know whether like Bogle was on probation already or whatnot back then, but anytime I feel like a lap rider messes with a lead lap rider, it needs to be a pretty severe penalty. I feel like it's that's not okay.
Yeah, that needs to be nipped in the butt every time. Like, that's just that was honestly like I'm a big fan of Hunter Lawrence. I think that's probably the only time in his career so far that I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was a BS move. And again, like, after the race, they're in each other's faces. They're talking like, I'm about it, man.
Sure.
Whatever. But, and this isn't even, like, the gripe isn't even really with Hunter. I guess it's more with the AMA, because it's like,
well, they black flag Chad.
Well, that's what I mean. What's one of the,
that's the exact same thing.
Chad with Trey Kennard. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. And so it's like,
because I'm smart.
Again, where's the consistency? So, yeah, I mean, I'm there with you, Edward. I don't really understand what happened. I don't, you know, I would like to see a statement from Jeremy or from you know, Mike Pelletier or somebody from the AMA explaining why that was, how they reached that. And I mean, of course, everybody's talking about, you know, Jason Anderson also got a written warning. Where was Barsha's warning for that? Now, granted, he may have had it. I don't know. Trey Kennard, I'm sure, did not get one. But like,
I imagine so.
I mean, this whole Anderson versus AMA thing is kind of getting ridiculous, because it's like, you know, I don't genuinely think that they're sitting there, you know, scheming to try to stop Anderson from being successful. But at the same time, it's like, would things have been different if this was Anderson on Hunter and Anderson was the lap down? It makes you wonder. That's all I'm putting it at. So Edward, to answer your question, I don't know. I don't know how that isn't a similar. I didn't even think about the Chad Trey thing, because he got black flagged too. And so for me, it's like, there's two instances of semi-consistent punishment. And then now you've got this. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Hunter is obviously a big name and a big face in the sport, but so is Jason. And so, yeah, who knows? I mean, like I said, I'd like to see a statement from the people that made the decision. I'm sure there is a calculated version and a calculated way that they get to it. But
I'd like to think of it more of as dartboard.
Maybe.
Possibly a wheel.
Yeah, that's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you can explain to me and break down how that penalty was assessed and how you got to a warning and a fine, then okay. But with this, it's just kind of, here's what it is. I don't care if you like it or not. That's what he got. So, yeah, honestly, don't really have an answer for you there, Edward. Who knows? Maybe we'll have some more information the next time we do a pod. Maybe somebody will have put something out.
Perhaps, yeah, shed some light on it. Or it gets swept under the rug. That's never happened before in the sport of motocross, super motocross. This is still the motocross industry, by the way, right? Like, we're all on board with that. No one is calling it the super motocross industry.
God, I hope not.
Yeah.
I would accept the supercross industry more than the super motocross industry.
Right.
As long as it's not the super motocross industry, Jesus. Just
only
throwing
in the South.
R's everywhere. No, no, Brad. No, no. It is moto here. All right. Roll your back up like a windshade, boy. Don't come after the South like that.
Yeah. All right. Okay, let's talk about the race. We didn't even talk about Deegan going out and winning. By the narrowest of margins, because RJ was coming.
RJ was on a roll.
The funniest thing about the broadcast was that the front two were battling, and then they were showing the battle for third, but the battle for third was catching the lead. So, like, all of a sudden, like, it was box in box, but then...
And they're all there.
They're both in the same shot. You're like,
there's been a couple times they've done that, where it's, like, the two boxes, and we're literally watching the same thing on both boxes.
It's just a slightly different view, or just a different camera angle, and, yeah, like, the third and fourth were catching the top two guys, and, yeah, like, they're sort of accordioning together. But D gets it done. He's got three wins now on his Supercross career. The showdown at the last round is a little bit of an anomaly because there's championships at hand, and some guys are mailing it in a little bit. A lot of guys have been riding outdoors a lot just because they haven't been in a championship for a while. But a win's a win, and go out there, get the start. Be faster than even the championship winners. I think that was that's a big statement. And some momentum for Deegs heading out to the outdoors, where I think honestly his skills are probably even more sharp.
Yeah, I would agree with that as well. Weird race or not, check cash is the same. So it was a solid result. Obviously, I saw Jason Wygant put a thing out saying that in the post-race press conferences, you know, I was coming into the season with only 4 or 5 days on a bike or something like that.
Yeah.
Again, you know, back to a previous vented plate, let it out session. Just freaking tell us, but whatever. I'm not
it's
even
going to
get into
that. It's
even
more peculiar with Deegs, because I don't think, no one's effing with him.
Well,
and it's not and, like he's like, it's not a sponsorship thing. Like he could hang up the boots tomorow and be comfortable the rest of his life. It's not a money deal. I don't quite get that.
I don't either, but I do think this was a building year. Like, I think a lot of people, I think the broadcast helped with this, but I think it's hard to remember that this is his, you know, first season. He's getting things figured out, really. Like, you know, the SMX championship, don't get me wrong, he earned that, and that took a lot. But, I think as far as the season itself goes, he's looking at it in a positive manner. He was in the title fight.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that would just have liked to have been in the conversation. Outdoors is going to be interesting. I really do think it's going to be a fun one to watch, because I think there's several riders in that 250 class with some potential. I know we're probably going to break that down a little more in depth next week.
Yeah, next week.
But yeah, that's going to be the outdoor, you know, previews. But as far as the capping of the season goes, what better way to do it? I mean, you take Deegan and Sexton both, man, ending the season on a high note. The positive vibes are there. The momentum's there. And so we'll see. I think it's going to be interesting. I think Deegan's got to be satisfied. I'm sure obviously his team and his inner circle there are saying, you know, look at what you were able to do in such a short amount of time. And I do think, you know, I do think he's going to get a championship in Supercross in the 250 class before he moves up. Like, I think he's got the potential. I think the team wants to see it. I think, you know, obviously there's a lot of rumors about him jumping up to 450s extremely quick and stuff like that, but I think that's a box that he wants to check. before he leaves. And so, yeah, he's on a good path and excited. If he can stay healthy and get a full season under his belt and get ready back for next year, yeah, look out because he's going to be there swinging.
Yeah, it's like it's with age comes strength, ability, mastery in general. And he's gonna be he's my already my Supercross favorite for whichever coast that he ends up racing on. He could race either one, and I would put him as a favorite over either one of the returning champions, which I believe both will be able to come back. I know they'll be able to, something that they don't always do. RJ more than likely defend his title. Same thing with Tom Bial. I don't want to throw any hate out there, but the GasGas boys, like, did we not think that DeFrancisco was going to be a little bit stronger at the to this point?
I was pretty bummed for Ryder just because I remember saying, like specifically, I remember at Charlotte SMX last year, I was there in person and he really surprised me. Like he was on PC and it was, I mean, some really good performances where I was like, okay, this he's getting it figured
Starts were
out.
there.
Exactly. And it was consistent too. It wasn't just like a flash. It was like, man, he's actually putting everything together. New team, there are struggles that come along with that. I understand all of that. Going from a Japanese to an Austrian brand, probably some more challenges along the line with that
Right.
as
You've only
well.
ever been on Cowies
Well,
or Cobras.
that's what I'm, yeah. And so for me, it's like we never really saw any progress. Like it's, I don't know if they're still searching. I don't know if there's stuff with Ryder personally going on, but yeah,
But you
just in
don't see
general,
any
that's
progress with Pierce Brown either.
no.
Like,
Exactly. And that's what that makes me think it's a bike, it's a team thing. And so I don't really know, I don't have any answers for it because I think Pierce is another rider. Shoot, what was it? Three, four, five rounds into the season and he was in the mix. Didn't he hold the points lead at one time?
wasn't points leader, but he was either second or third in points. But
Yeah.
it was because everyone else was just
Just
crashing
the
around him. Like
it
he just
was
kept
just the
knocking down
chaos.
fifths. Like, I think at one point he was third in points and hadn't even gotten a fourth yet. You're like,
How does
yeah,
that
it
work
was.
out? Well, and like we said, there was a lot of chaos at the beginning of the season, but
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know. I mean, you would have to think at a certain point the team just goes, okay, we got to start focusing for outdoors. Like clearly this is not our season indoors. This is not, this isn't working. We need to go ahead and start looking towards this so that we can come out swinging at round one. So yeah, I mean, I think that is, that's about all that they can do. Yeah, the last point on the 250s is Cody Schock taking home third overall in the championship for the 250. What is that, East or West?
East.
East, I was about to say. Man, I mean, what can you say about the dude? You go back to that 7 day span after a collarbone surgery and he's back out there. Like, I think this is a huge year for Cody. Obviously signing a very long-term deal with Club MX, which, congratulations. I think he sounds really happy with that team and the program that they've got going on. But
Ability, good bikes.
exactly. And I mean, dude, if you're comfortable, I think, that club team is good. That club team is really good. And
Right.
I
And they
think
also offer the flexibility for him to go ride a 450 outdoors, which I think
exactly.
is the plan. And for those who don't remember, 2 years ago outdoors, Cody Shock, fifth place guy. Like, obviously that it was an injury depleted field at the time, but a fifth is a fifth. Like, when you're running up there, like he's very, very strong rider. And I think like with some more wind in his sails rolling into next year, like he can be a thorn in the side of a lot of factory guys all season
Well,
long.
and he's another guy that doesn't take shit. And that's another
Yes.
thing is he does not seem to be fazed by a name, by a team, anything like that. He's a baller. And when he lines up, he knows what he's
Dot com.
capable of doing it. And I think sometimes you do see that where whether it's oh, that's so and so or oh, they ride for so and so. And it's like, man, now you're locked in for I believe it was 3 years that the club deal is. He's not worried about a ride. He's not worried about, he those club guys, I think they like the underdog
Oh
mentality.
yeah.
I think they like being the big dogs of the little dogs, if you will. And so, yeah, I'm all about it. I think it's a huge statement to the season. And I completely agree. I think he's going to be a threat outdoors Maybe not title and stuff like that, but as far as potential to show up on any given race day and get in the mix with some people, yeah, absolutely. So, good stuff for him, and a huge props to the whole team, man. I mean, third overall in the championship is more than just a rider. That's a consistent team with the ability to make proper changes and adjust throughout the season as they need. So, yeah, shout out to the club boys.
Yeah, no, they're looking good. And it's amazing the humble beginnings that that team started with. That was, I think we touched on it last time, Redemption Racing with Cade Clayson and Joey Crown up here in Canada on KTMs. And they've just chipped away and chipped away and chipped away. Got Yamaha support, landed riders like Jeremy Martin. And he's going to be back for the outdoors. I think he's going to be strong. Honestly, I would rather see him on a 450, to be completely honest. I think that would inject some more talent and speed into the top end of the 450 class. But yeah, let's get this thing rolling here. Sexton, he wins. Does that provide some momentum heading outdoors?
It's gotta be. I mean, I think
He's going to run the number four now.
yeah, that's gonna be interesting too. It's almost
Look
there
like
was so
Baggett.
much. Yeah, well, there's so much talk about it before this season, which was funny because everybody was ignoring Baggett. Then midway through the season, all of a sudden Baggett's buying another bike. And so well, don't even get in on
Retired
that one.
rider,
But
retired
you
racers
know
ride
what,
bikes. Weird.
Brad, you might be right. It might be me because it is absolutely pissing rain outside here in Charlotte now. Can you hear it in the microphone? It is dumping rain outside right now. I
I
was
can't
worried it
hear
was.
it, but if you maybe it's just like kind of like something like that. I don't know. That's great
Yeah,
audio though.
nice little rain session that, yeah, great radio.
Yeah.
But for Chase Sexton, yeah, absolutely. It's gotta, I mean, I hate to say it, you gotta find momentum where you can get it. You know,
Yeah.
I mean, like he has clearly had some struggles adjusting. It hasn't been what he's expected. He's been open about that. Sounds like they've found or allowed him to go back to some stock stuff that sounds a little more comfortable. Cooper Webb's facial expressions when he said that were absolutely hysterical.
I want to have a beer with Cooper Webb.
I swear to God, I think it's so crazy. I've never even really met the guy in person, and he lives like where I'm at. Like he's
Oh.
from North Carolina.
Yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
so, but and I want to be around Cooper with like his buddies, like NDA signed, like I want to get to know Cooper Webb, not
Yeah,
the
yeah. No, I
star
want to
rider. You know what I
like
mean? Yeah.
if there's a VIP experience that I would pay
Yes,
for,
yes.
it's like a night out with Coop, Jacob Hayes. What's his name there? Nicoletti is
Oh,
there.
Filthy's. Yeah, Filthy's got to be a riot.
Rarick is in the mix.
Their
And
boy,
yeah, whoever
Tyler Bright.
else.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Tyler Bright's good buddies with all
Tyler
of them too.
Bright's in
Yeah, it's.
there.
Yep.
And yeah, those guys. But then also, I want AC to be there. 'Cause I think they'd crack on each other nonstop and they'd be
I
mean about
want
it.
the AC Cooper Webb podcast. I want that one
Yes.
unplugged. I think that would be really, really cool just to go back. And I almost do it like re-raceable styles in a way where they like go back to certain Loretta's race. It's got to be super mini, obviously, but like go back to like, dude, 2010, I hated you, man. Like
Yeah.
it was.
It can't just be them two, though. It also has to be like their guy with
Yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Because,
They're
like, it needs to
buddy.
be like
Yeah.
AC and Zach Commons, who are
Yes.
like, or like, God, what was the other kid's name? Oh shit. Raced for a bit in the pros and then hung him up immediately. Oh, there's another Florida guy that was really close with AC back in the day. His name escapes me, but I will remember it when we're not on the podcast. I will text it to you. But either way, like, you know what I mean? Like, they all had like a
Yeah.
buddy who was like close and like they who was like they're frenemies, like they all hated each
Yeah.
other. That would be epic. And they go, oh, we were like, we totally were like, we clowned on you this, or like, I don't know if they ever, I don't think they were ever like clever enough to prank each other. Like,
I don't really see Cooper back then. Cooper always just looks so pissed off. Like
yeah,
I don't
there
think
were
there would have
some
been
like
any
fuck you
pranking.
matches, like after the races, or like, Ooh, the dads also need to have a podcast.
That would be cool. Yeah, Bob and Alan would be fun to listen to for sure.
Yeah. I think that would actually maybe spark some old hard feelings, and then it just goes completely sideways and they both just hang up. That's the end of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, Bob is pretty laid back from what I understand. Like, obviously he cares and he was invested in it, but like Alan was like in it. Like he was, you know, and so it's been fun watching all the old AC media and stuff like that over this last week and a half or so, everybody, you know, saying goodbye to him. And I mean,
like he's
even
gonna
Cooper,
die.
What? Yeah, right. Kind of. I mean,
I will.
Well, and especially somebody like Adam, like I don't think he's gonna just disappear into the shadows. So it's not like we're just not gonna see Adam.
I'm gonna
anymore,
see him at the vet track.
Yeah, exactly. Blowing by me.
Yeah,
but he's literally able to tie one hand behind his back and could still just kick my ass
apparently.
Any day.
Yeah,
but yeah, keeping it going with the 450s, man. Justin Cooper, he's one of my dark horses for outdoors. I think. Oh. He is.
This is his
he's
summer.
Got the Yep, he's got the skills. You know, maybe not quite lights the fire on the microphone, but as far as when the helmet's on, the dude's legit. And yeah, we'll see. I think he's again take momentum where you can get it. He's had some solid performances towards the tail end of the season.
Yeah.
Now going into what I believe is a little more his wheelhouse in the outdoors, I think it's going to be interesting to see if he can get some of those starts that he used to get in 250s. Yeah, I think he could be up in the mix. So excited to see what Jay Coop's able to do.
Certainly. And this is a little bit of a teaser for the 450 or for the outdoors pod that we're going to do next Wednesday. Cooper Webb surgery. He'll literally the exact same surgery that Tomac just had. They'll both be out for 6 to 8 weeks. I don't expect either one to be racing outdoors. Like by the time there's 7 weeks into the outdoor series, I don't see either one of them coming back. AC is done altogether. He is retirement, hanging up the boots, which is crazy to think of, because literally I've been doing this podcast his entire career. Ken Roczen, he's also going to be out. It looks like he's got some sort of either meniscus issue or I think it was an MCL, which I don't think he was contracted to ride outdoors anyway. I don't think World Supercross is coming back anyway. So we normally do the vented plate, let it all out vent session. Unless you have a really quick one, I know you got to get going. Lay it on me. Otherwise, I think everything is all good in the world. I'm going to go ride my dirt bike soon. You're going to continue watching the rain and, head on up to, Verbadilla and, probably sleep on an air mattress.
Hey, all about it, right? I'm going to sleep at the bottom of Screw You. So, that's my vented let it out session is Mother Nature and I officially have beef. So yeah, we'll see who wins that one. But, till then, man, I will, like I said, we'll get ready for the outdoor preview show next week. And, I'll watch The Great Outdoors 2 at least 12 times before then. So, Hey, I mean, think about it. Just real quick. Let me just lay it out here. Let's lay the similarities between the 2024 Outdoor National Series and the 2003 Outdoor National Series, all right? And if you've got a champ, you got to have a challenger, all right?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't work anymore because fucking Tomac's hurt. Son of a bitch! All right, well.
The guy who should have been champ, and then you have the kid.
Yeah.
All right,
well.
The Loretta Lynn's regional qualifiers are starting soon, which means that we have to play out at the ranch.
Welcome to Best 42 in the land. All ages from kids up to grown men walk through the gates of the coal miner's daughter to make a point clearer than the creek water. Who's the best? Who's it gonna be? In Hurricane Mills, Tennessee. Can you feel the adrenaline? Dirt flies hypnotized by the wind spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the fence. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it all begins. Do what you gotta do for 20 plus 2 out at the ranch. We'll be right back. and rowdy fans. Play the national anthem and everybody stands. Smell the smoke from the two strokes riding by. The 30-second card's on its side. Hypnotized by the wheel spin. Hear the crowd, everybody's whistling. Line on the field. If you can put it all together three times, this 1 week of racing could change your life. Everybody knows this is where it.